Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We are going to finish this part of our study in Proverbs. Of course, we've been doing topic by topic in Proverbs. We've talked about several different things, and tonight we're going to finish the topic of work and labor. Some of you are glad. But let me begin by saying God gave us everything in the Bible in which we need to know to live. Yes, sir. It's all there. God gave us everything that we need. And man needed work because man was created to work. God made man to work. God put him in the garden to dress it, to keep it, to have dominion over the fish of the fowl of the air and every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth, according to Genesis chapter 1. So God gave us work, and his job at that time was not only the naming and the categorizing and all the things of the animals, but keeping the function of the earth going as well. There is always a portion of truth in all error. There's always a portion of truth in all error. The people that believe in global warming, there is a portion of truth to that. One day the world will burn up. It's called after the end of the millennium. God's going to destroy it by fire. Now, it's not warming up the way they think. God's going to take care of it. And they won't be here to know about it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But there's always a portion of truth. Now, work or labor is not a curse. God made us to do it. He put man in the garden to work. Now, God gave man a desire or a responsibility of work. Therefore, we are happiest as we work. It's true. And even in some of the principles I showed you, the highest areas of unemployment are the highest areas of crime. It's not a poverty issue, it's a work issue. Amen. It's a character issue. You want to change the character of an area, bring in jobs. Thank God for a president that believes in bringing jobs back to America. Amen. I am for it. And you're watching crime decrease as jobs increase. Liberals want to say, well, it's all money. It's not money, it's labor. It's work. But man loves work so much that when man fell, when man sinned, he started creating his own religion based on works. Works make sense to man. But salvation has nothing dependent on man. It's all dependent on God and God's grace.
That's right.
So that's why man's religion is works. God's religion, so to speak, is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So man's religion is based on works. Now, we've gone through or are going through the book of Proverbs. Each time the word work or labor or some form of that word is used, and tonight we're going to pick up. We've gone through 14 different places. Tonight we're going to do number 15 through 18 and be done with it. Amen. And then next week we'll pick up on another topic. I have two topics that I have done, and one that I'm working on. I'm not sure how many more we're going to take after that, but one of which is about health, and I think you'll enjoy it. Don't worry, we're not going to be drinking barley green and vinegar and eating grass, all right? You can, I'm not, but there's many things in here about it. But take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 24. And by the way, if you drink that stuff, that's fine with me, as long as I don't have to swallow it, amen? Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 12. The Bible says, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Here's the principle. God rewards us according to our works. God will reward you, not just spiritually, but even in your daily living, according to your works. God says we show our, in the book of James, the Bible says, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. It doesn't mean you work to get faith. It means because you have faith, you'll act upon it. You don't work to get saved, but because you're saved, you do good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's where most people stop. Do you know what verse number 11 is? For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, you don't get saved by good works, but after you're saved, you are to be a workman of good works because you're saved. You don't do the works to get saved, you do the works because you're saved. Somebody that's on their way to hell doesn't have to tell somebody else how to die and go to hell. You do it naturally. But once you get saved, your responsibility, since you're on your way to heaven, is to stop and talk to the person that's on their way to hell. Sorry, Ellen. Talk to the person on their way to hell. I just kind of pointed there. I'm pretty good at pointing in the right spots there. But it's our responsibility to tell somebody else how to not go to hell, but to go to heaven. You don't do that because you're lost. You do it because you're saved. You don't do it to get saved. You do it because you're saved. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes, sir. So God rewards us according to our works. When you go to work, you work your job, and after a week or 2 weeks or twice a month or once a month, you get your paycheck. You're rewarded according to your works. That's what it is. Whether you're paid salary, whether you're paid hourly, whether you're paid commission or any combination thereof. You are being paid in reference to your works. Some of you may even get a retirement or something like that. You say, what is that? You paid into it all those years while you were working, and now you're reaping the benefit of your works. That's what it's all about. When we get to heaven, God will reward us according to our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Turn there very quickly. 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, my soul. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look at verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That means when you get to heaven and the judgment seat of Christ comes and we Christians are to get our reward in heaven. Now, when you die, you'll never face judgment for your sin. Jack Van Empe used to get up and preach, you die, go to heaven, God's going to show your life on a big movie screen. Jack Van Empe had a hole big enough to drive a Mack truck through his head with him on that. Not true. He's not going to show all of your life. God says, I'll try you by your works in what sort they were. What kind of works they were. Did you do it to get attention for yourself? The Bible says you've received your own reward. Said to the Pharisees, you stand on the corner talking about how you fasted. You're lifting your hands and praying so everybody can see you. You have received your reward. You got everybody's attention. But you take somebody like Joe Lopez, who goes to junior church every week, because that's the level he understands, but takes care of junior church and preaches to those little boys and girls and is changing an area based on a junior church, and tell you something, he's going to step ahead of an awful lot of preachers. Amen. Say why? Because he's not doing it for him. He's doing it for the Lord and to see lives changed. You're going to be surprised how many big-name preachers are at the end of the line. Some of the guys like Kevin Arcola out in Blacksville, West Virginia, steps up ahead of everybody. Town of 165 people. You try running 50, 60 people in a town of 150, 160. That means we'd have to run about 5,000 to equal what he's doing, percentage-wise. That means Brother Hiles would have had to run about 3 million, percentage-wise. See, God works in percentage, not overall package. So we will be judged according to our works. So when we get to heaven, God's going to try your works to see, did you do it for yourself and so everybody could see you? Or did you do it just because you're supposed to do it and you love me and you obeyed me? We're going to try it by what sort of work it is. I've watched people, sometimes they would come to church and they'd do something and they made sure everybody understood they did it. But the first thing out of their mouth is, I don't want anybody to know I did this. And it's amazing how everybody knows by the end of the first service they were back what they did. Because they told every one of them, I don't want to tell anybody, but I'll tell you. Everybody doing all right? I'm having too much fun right now. I've been in church way too long. Works are not lifetime. They're earned individually. Just because you do something good once doesn't mean it lasts you the rest of your life. You witness to one person in your life or win one person, Lord, and say, check that off my bucket list. I'm done. Don't have to do that ever again. Mm-mm. Doesn't work that way. It's based day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. We should judge works as they happen and not hold them against anybody forever. That's why this garbage of getting somebody up in church and have them tell everybody what bad they did, what good is that? It doesn't accomplish any good. Doesn't matter how good or how bad they are. By the way, getting somebody up and slapping them back and telling everybody how good they are usually doesn't do much good either. Works are like a paycheck. You get it for what is done, even if you made mistakes. How many of you have ever made a mistake at work? Raise your hand. How many of you still got your paycheck because even though you made a mistake? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, sometimes you had to get overtime because you made the mistake. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Works are the same way. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean it negates everything in life. How is it that we think a person can live so long, so well, do one thing, and then we got to send them to the booger man the rest of their life? I believe in restoring people. I believe in picking people up that are fallen. Just because you fall down doesn't mean you can't get back up and wipe the dirt off and keep on going. I got to hurry here. Number 16. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 29. You realize I could preach a whole sermon on every one of these. Yes. I'm exercising restraint for once. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 29. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Number 16, are you ready? Don't be vengeful in paying works. Don't be vengeful in paying works. Say, what does that mean, preacher? We should not pay back anyone in revenge. Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And can I tell you something? That's true no matter what they did to you. No matter what they have done to you. It's not your job to pay them back. Careful, I don't think anybody, but maybe my wife and possibly my parents would know who this is, and it's not a big deal, but I'll protect them. I know somebody that unwisely went into debt, and then the person they went into debt for reneged on it, and then it was all my fault. And I ended up paying $5,000 to somebody that it wasn't even mine. It's a long story. But may I say this? I didn't get all upset. I took a loan out, I paid them back, and I paid the loan back. You say, why? Because I'm not going to be vengeful. The person that wronged everybody to start with contacted me twice saying, oh yeah, I've got a payment, I'll be starting to make payments. That was years ago and I haven't seen a penny since. No big deal. It's only money. Yeah. That's why I didn't mention a name. You know, we're not to be paying back somebody. And he said, well, if somebody did that to me, you know, God's blessed me far and above that. We should pay by principle, not by vengeance. My Bible says if someone wrongs you, do good to them. My Bible says if somebody hates you, you're to love them.
Sorry.
My Bible says for those that persecute you and do things against you unjustly, be just with them. It doesn't say, well, I'll get back, or you hold it over their head for the next 40 years. Some of you, somebody did something to you 40 years ago, and you're still ticked off and will never heal from it. Can I tell you something? Grow up. Get past it. Because all that is a cancer eating you up. Let go of it. It's not going to change. Take life as an employer. Sometimes you pay even for mistakes. Sometimes you pay for somebody that slacks, but you still pay. In life, not everybody's going to do it exactly as much or exactly the way you would do it, but guess what? You got to pay them anyway. Get the job done. Quit complaining about it. They're complaining about how little you pay them, and you're complaining that you got to pay for what you didn't get done. Can I tell you something? Learn to live with that. Something that I've learned in administration. I've administrated a lot of people. Nobody's going to do it exactly the way I do it but me. Nobody. If I expect everybody to do it exactly the way I do it and only the way I do it, I cannot administrate anybody else. Period. I don't lead you like I lead me. I'm hard on me. I'll be easy on you. I know how to be hard on me. Believe me. But may I say this? I'm not to lead you the way I lead me. I'm not to lead my wife the way I lead me. I'm not supposed to get her up at 4:30 in the morning and keep her work until 10:30, 11 o'clock every night like most of the time I do. Say why? She'd have been dead 29 years ago. She doesn't function that way. But she's strong when I need her strong. When I need, when the batteries are running a little low, she can energize the battery again. I'm not supposed to lead her the way I lead me. I can tell myself, you stupid idiot, that's not what you do. I don't talk to my wife that way. That doesn't go over real well. I have never one time said that to her. Not once. If something doesn't go quite right, I don't say, how come you didn't do this? And why didn't you do that? Why should I give her the third degree? Nobody died over it. No big deal. It's just something little. Now, she'll beat herself up over it. I say, it's okay. Now, if it were me, maybe I'd have done it different. Putting you on me things I've messed up too. Forget it. It all comes out in the wash eventually. So let's not be vengeful with our work. We need to do this in our relationships as well. Did you know? Are you ready for a deep Bible truth? Did you know that nobody is perfect? I know that's a shock to you. Not even me. That's not easy to say. Did you know nobody is perfect, especially Ellen and Marcia? But can I tell you something? Did you know that because you have everybody that's imperfect, everything in life will be imperfect?
You're right.
Everything. Why do we want to hold people to a standard of perfection? And some of you, the only standard of perfection is what you know. Some of you live in a very, very small world, Mr. Rogers, with your little trolley. But there's a big world out there that you don't know anything about. You're like the kid at the French fryer that knows how to run McDonald's, because you're the best French fry maker there is. You can pour them into the basket, drop them, hit the button, wait for it to go beep, 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 pick them up, drain them, throw them in, throw salt on them, and you know how to run McDonald's franchises. Some of you, that's the way you view life. You think you got it all together. And you're no different than the guy at McDonald's. Well, I don't work there. No, but how you view your relationships are much that way. So let's be careful. I got to hurry. Number 17. I have two more. And I can get them done. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. How appropriate to finish on Proverbs 31 on the 31st. Amen. I did. Both of them are in Proverbs 31. It kind of came back at you a little bit. Like throwing one of those little rubber balls, you throw it and boom. All right, Proverbs chapter 31, look at verse number 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, Proverbs 31, we call it the virtuous woman chapter, whatever you want to call. I want you to notice something about this. We put a lot of emphasis on Proverbs 31. There's not one command given here. Not one. This is an observation of a son about his mama. Look at verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that who? His mother taught him. So these are words by a son about his mother from God. And he is describing his mom through what he observed in his life, and he's now king. But I want you to notice there isn't one command given in Proverbs chapter 31 to the Proverbs 31 lady. Not one. It just tells about what she was. Shows character traits. All right? Everybody look at me. Proverbs 31 verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Here's the principle, we should be willing workers. Willing workers. I'm going to get into that in a moment here. We need to work willingly and not have to be forced to work. I believe that Christians ought to be the first to volunteer. Amen. I believe Christians ought to be willing to get their work and get their work done. By the way, at work, at school, or at home, I think we ought to be. Went from preaching to meddling, right? I know. But we need to be willing to work. Now, we need to be willing. I want you to know something about this. It's not just work as far as manual labor. Look at verse 13 again. What's the next word? Seeketh. That means she's looking for, right? In the Hebrew, that means shoppeth. Seeketh. She seeketh wool and flax. That means this. She was looking for good deals. We need to be willing to save money. Some of you work harder than you need to because you waste too much money because you pay too much for what you buy. Ouch. You wouldn't have to work as many hours and be stressed so much about your finances if you do a little shopping. But I want it. I need it right now. It's amazing how much you don't need right now.
Amen.
So, shop for good deals. Seek good deals. My wife and I went out yesterday for half a day shopping. Yeah, it wasn't much of a day off. No, I enjoy being with my wife. But we were looking at things and we purchased a few things for the new house and getting things lined up for when we are about to move in, what we need, when we need it. And I happen to know one of the big ticket items that we're looking at, I'm counting on a Veterans Day sale for. So I'm waiting. But we know what the price is now. And I found $150 off. So I'm waiting for the sale, and it's good whether I got the, if there's a sale too. And I thought, if I wait a little bit, it's only about 2 weeks, I can get that. And I can save me a bucket load of money. You say, why is that? Because I can use the money somewhere else to buy something else that she wants. We've been shopping around trying to find everything she wants inexpensively. Is it where we're going to be in 10 years? Probably not. She'll change it by then. Most of those things. But it gets us started. Gets everything in the door and where we need it to get started. And then, after we get everything off the plate and ready and done, then we can a little at a time do it and get it done. Say, what is that? That means seeking for good deals. It also means fix broken things. Don't buy everything new all the time.
Amen.
Some of us, if we just take care of what we have, we wouldn't have to have to buy so many of them.
Sorry.
Ouch. The Bible says she seeketh wool and flax. That means making things from scratch. Sometimes we want to just buy pre-made instead of making it ourselves. Just because you can rip a box open and throw it in the microwave doesn't mean you know how to cook. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to put something in the microwave, but if that's all you do, you don't know how to cook. There's more to life than wampum biscuits. Y'all know what I mean? That means you peel the paper off the can and whomp them and watch them pop out. All right? You know, there's more to life than that. Now, we're thankful for wampum biscuits, but, you know, if that's all you can do, God bless you. Man, I'm going to get in trouble for sure on that one. I know that. Can I tell you something? The Bible says here that you take care of what you have. If we would just take care of what we have, if we would just make sure that it's cared for, is it always going to look brand new and be brand new? No, but it can run like new. It can be cared for like it's new, even if it's old. Bless you. My dad's got a skill saw. Dad, that thing has to be 50 plus years old, isn't it? At least 55, 56 years old. Okay, it's older than I am. He has to special order the blades for it. I don't know. That old stupid silver. I grew up. That's the only skill saw I've ever seen my dad own in my whole life. And it still works. Got mad because he had to replace bearings in it once. But he takes care of it. I don't know how many cords he's put on that thing because my brother cut through all of them. it wasn't me. I don't touch that thing. Mm-mm. They would call me Stubby. Yeah, buddy. Now, the word willingly is interesting. The word willing means to do with pleasure. That means this: we ought not be forced to do our work. We ought to be willing to do it with a good attitude. The word willing means with the right attitude. That means if mom or dad says, go do this, we're supposed to do it willingly, not do this or you're going to get whooped. Okay, that's not willingly. That's forced. You still should do it. We need the right attitude about work. Not just the work we get paid for, but the work we don't get paid for at home, because you're paying for the work you do at home yourself. Did you ever think about that? You have to pay for it at home by what you do at work. So if you do it at home, then you can take the money that you made at work and spend it on something else. We need good manners and appreciation for those who do the mundane at home. When's the last time, fellas, that you told your wife thanks for cooking? When's the last time you thanked your wife and or your kids for cleaning the house? When we were at home, when my kids were at home, they all had certain cleaning duties and stuff. And I would make sure from time to time I thanked them if they did their jobs right, that I praised them for it. I didn't always do it at the table in front of everybody. Sometimes I was say, why don't you grab the gun, let's take a walk out at the farm and let's go shoot some groundhogs. Really, Dad? Yeah, let's go. We'd take a walk and I'd say, thanks for doing your jobs at home and helping Mom. No problem, Dad. They learned, I do that, we get that. And it's a whole lot more pleasant than I didn't do that and we got something else. When's the last time you thanked someone for washing your clothes? When's the last time, ladies, you came home and the yard was mowed and he had mowed the yard? Well, fellas, some of you let your wife mow the grass. That's fine, but yeah. I'm not going there. But we need to learn to appreciate people that do the mundane. Fellas, when's the last time you thanked her for doing the grocery shopping? God knows, no man wants to go grocery shopping. I hate grocery shopping. My wife knows. It is the one job I hate most in life. Other than diapers. Okay? Right next to diapers is grocery shopping. Okay? They're about equal in my book. I just hate it. Now, I've gone a few times, but I've learned I'm only there to push the cart. And, man, some of those people are cranky at those places. Good night. I almost hurt three of them. But I don't go very often, but I promise you, I've made myself enjoy her. I don't enjoy shopping. Now, she does most of it by herself because she's able to, thank God. And I thank God every time she does that I don't have to go. It's just, I don't know why it's that distasteful to me, but it is. All right. Last one, Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse number 31. Last verse of the book of Proverbs. It's an amazing verse. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Number 18 is this. We need to let our work speak for us. We need to let our work speak for us. Okay, everybody look at me. Our pride is awful big. We're pretty good about telling everybody everything we do. God says, let your work do it. Okay, let me break it down to where we all live. As a child is growing, first thing they do, and they do it right, they want to say, Mommy, Daddy, look, you look what I did. You know, hopefully it was something right. But they want you to praise them for the right that they've done or their attempt to do right. And it's not wrong to say, yeah, you did a good job, but there comes a point in time where getting the job done is its own reward. And you quit telling everybody you did it. You do it because you're supposed to do it, not because somebody pat you on the back. Now, we don't want to keep score at ball games for children because somebody might get their feelings hurt because they lost. Oh, poor widow baby. Every boy in the world needs to know what it's like in the bottom of the seventh inning to be up 3-2, you're at the plate, and bases are loaded, and if you hit the ball, you win. If you walk, you win. But if you swing and miss, or it's a strike and you didn't swing, you lost it, and your team lost, and it's all on your shoulders. And every boy needs to know that feeling of, I lost it for my team. And stand there and cry and pout about it, and then have your dad stick his foot up your backside and say, quit crying about it, it's just a ball game, boy. You get over it. It didn't work my psyche at all. Now, wait a minute. Our pride causes us to want to talk about good and all the good that we do. God says, just work and let your work speak for you. Please don't take it because this was directed my way. This was directed at our church. I just got to be the recipient of it. There's a lawyer that has an office just crossed over here. Mr. Pill's a good man. He's helped us on a few projects here at the church for our building project and a couple other small things. One morning he stopped me. It was a Saturday morning, I think. It must have been about 6:30, 7 o'clock. I was out. I think I headed to go to the mailbox or something that I didn't get to the night before. He stopped me. He said, Pastor. I turned around. It was Mr. I said, yes, sir. And we walked to each other. He said, time'd you get here? I told him. He just shook his head. I said, what's the matter? He said, you know that you're the only business person here that's ever beat me to work? And you've been doing it every day since the day you moved in? I said, Didn't pay attention.
He said, I'm a Methodist. He said, Methodist churches aren't growing. He said, there's a reason you and your church have to build a building. He said, I never met a preacher that got to work before I did. He said, I'm happy for you, church. And I said, good. Why don't you quit your Methodist church and come join us? I'll take your tithe. And we joked about it for a second. He said, you didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Got to plant the seed sometime, amen. That was as good a time as any. Wait a minute. He made the statement, no wonder you have to build. What was it? Letting my work speak for it. Letting our work speak for it. He said, I've come here on a Sunday morning before. He said, I almost can't find a place to park on this side of the parking lot. He said, something happening over there. He said, how do you cram everybody in there? I said, don't ask. Don't ask. You know, we don't need to complain about the fruit of our hands. We need to live by it. Too many people want to complain about how little they make. How about you work harder and be satisfied with what you have? Let me say it this way and I'll close and be done. Don't seek being praised. Don't seek being praised. Let your work praise you. Too many of the workers of today act like a toddler needing being praised at potty training time. The average worker in America today is like the little 2 or 3 year old that needs, yay, you made it, yay, you got it in the right place, we made it in time. That's about the average worker in the workforce today in America. What a shame. How sad. People can't even show up to work. People won't even call into work. It's amazing. We ought to quit seeking praise for work. Let's just let our work speak for itself. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Can I tell you why people know where Grace Baptist Church is? A sign, a building. And how many times have you talked to somebody, oh yeah, I got one of those blue cards. Track. Say why? Because we passed out 126,000 of them things. Passed out a ton of them things. Everybody knows where we are. How is it that I could be on a job site at our church property and one of the guys working on the church property is telling his family and friends that live in the area to go to our church instead of driving all the way to his church? It just doesn't make sense to me. But people know. People know. There's a lot about work in the Bible. That's just what was in the book of Proverbs. Henry Ford said this. I started the series with this. I'll close. There will never be a system which will do away with the necessity of work. Work is our sanity, our self-respect, our salvation. So far from being a curse, work is the greatest blessing. The man who contributes much should take away much. So very true. God has a lot to say about it. Let's let our work praise us and not worry about everybody else. Let's not seek praise. Let's follow what God said in His Word about work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promised you that I would be done. Oh, I believe with all my heart that you all are some of the greatest workers in this area. But let's be diligent. Let's be scriptural about our work. As